Please take your Bibles, turn to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 12, and I'll be reading verses 33 through 37. And out of reverence to God, please stand as this word is read. Matthew chapter 12, beginning in verse 33. Either make the tree good, and its fruit will be good, or make the tree bad, and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you speak good things when you are evil? For the mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart. A good person produces good things from his storeroom of good, and an evil person produces evil things from his storeroom of evil. I tell you that on the day of judgment, people will have to account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you'll be acquitted, and by your words you'll be condemned. You may be seated. Every time we start a passage, we need to be sure and look at what came before it, because Scripture is not written the way that we like to see, with those little clean little settings and everything's different. Everything is related. We need to see what goes before and what goes after to find out what the meaning is. So previously, we looked at Jesus performing miracles. And one of the miracles he did was a man that was blind and unable to speak. And he healed them. Now, he healed them, and it set up an example of what he was trying to say to the religious leaders of the day, primarily the Pharisees, who were spiritually blind and unable to speak the truth of God. They had instead elevated their own opinions above God, their own tradition. And when we looked at John chapter 11 and verse 48, we saw their true motivation in wanting to oppose Jesus, because they said, if we let Jesus keep doing what he's doing, everybody's going to start following him. And we are going to lose our position, and the Romans will come and take over our country. They were more concerned about having their position of authority and the foreign pagan government in charge than following what God said to do. And they were the people that called themselves God's spokesmen, the ones that said they had the true message of God. When Jesus came and he spoke to them, and they didn't like what he said. So if you look at verse 14 of chapter 12, but the Pharisees went out and plotted against him how they might kill him. Now, Jesus is casting out this demon, and they say, he's doing it by the devil. Jesus knew what they were thinking, and he says, if I'm casting out the devil, demons, by the devil, Beelzebub, the prince of demons, another name for Satan, who are your sons casting them out by? If I'm casting them out by God, then God has come upon you. Judgment has come. Then Jesus goes on and explains, if I'm going to cast out a demon, imagine a situation where you're going to go into a rich man's house. You can't steal from him unless you tie him up first. You tie up the strong man, and then you can take the strong man's riches. Jesus is showing that I have power over the devil. Jesus has tied up the devil, the strong man, and is now taking from what was in the devil's hand and putting it in to God's hand. And then Jesus goes on and talks about blasphemy. Look at verse 30. Anyone who is not with me is against me, and anyone who does not gather with me scatters. Therefore, I tell you, people will be forgiven every sin and blasphemy, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. And Sunday we looked at the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convicts us of a sin. He works in our lives. He is the one that shows us the truth. And the Pharisees are ignoring the work of the Holy Spirit. God has made his evidence plain to all of us. It tells us in Romans chapter 1. And the Pharisees are ignoring that. They're ignoring the miracles that Jesus has done, proving his supernatural power, and instead are saying, even though they know the truth, that Jesus is from the devil, even though they know he's from God, and they know he's the Messiah, they are ignoring the conviction of the Holy Spirit and choosing to go their own way. And that is the unforgivable sin. Understanding that you're a sinner and rejecting God's forgiveness. Now, Paul is an example of someone that blasphemed against Jesus, but later, when he understood the truth, repented and became one of the greatest spokesmen for Christianity throughout the world. Matter of fact, it was said of him, he has turned the world upside down with his teaching. Well, Jesus is talking about speaking blasphemy. And then he comes to our passage today, or we come to the passage, he just kept on teaching. Either make the tree good and its fruit will be good, or make the tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Now, he didn't shift gears all of a sudden. Now, there's some of us that we'll be talking about something and it's like the movie Up, Squirrel. You know, I do that in my sermon. So there's a rabbit there too. No. Jesus didn't switch gears. He's talking about the same thing about our words and the words of the Pharisees and describing an illustration that people will understand. If you go out to a palm tree, you're not going to get an apple. If you go out to a lemon tree, you're not going to get a grapefruit. You're going to get a certain fruit that relates to the type of tree it is. And here Jesus is talking about good trees producing good fruit and bad trees producing bad fruit. And Jesus is explaining that it's the good tree is the good heart, and the bad tree is the bad heart. Now look at what he says in verse 24. Brood of vipers, how can you speak good things when you are evil? For the mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart. Look with me for a moment in Galatians. Well, let's go to Matthew chapter 15 first. Matthew 15, then we'll go to Galatians. And look at verse 18. But what comes out of the mouth comes from the heart, and this defiles a person. For from the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, sexual immoralities, thefts, false testimonies, slander. These are things that defile a person. And then let's turn to Galatians chapter 5. So he's describing the source of evil is from the heart. Galatians chapter 5 and beginning in verse 19. Now, the works of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar. I am warning you about these things, as I warned you before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's the bad tree fruit, the fruit from the bad tree. But the fruit from the good tree, in verse 22, Galatians 5, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These come from the Spirit-controlled individual. And we either have a heart that is evil, or a heart that used to be evil, that God has given us a new heart. Now, back to our passage in Matthew, the end of verse 34. For the mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart. A good person produces good things from his storehouse of good, and an evil person produces evil things from his storeroom of evil. Now, got a little okay. Got a little cup here. Just a cup of water. Why is the water coming out of the cup? Because that's what's in the cup. If something else was in the cup, that would come out. Some people might say, well, gosh, you're hitting it. Well, there's things that can disturb any individual. And out of the contents of our heart, just like the water came out of that cup, so things come out of us. And in the Greek, where it says either bringeth forth or produces, that Greek word actually means to throw or fling out. Just like when I disturb the cup and the things come out, that's what that Greek word is. So our words that come out when we're shaken up, when we don't have time to think about what we're going to say. And you've seen a lot of people, heard a lot of people say a lot of things. You go, whoa, what did you say? Because they had those words inside. They were just controlling them previously. The good person has a new heart that's changed by God. Psalm 51, verse 10 says, God, create a clean heart in me. And Ephesians chapter 4, let's go there for a moment. I guess I could have told you to keep your finger back at the when we're in Galatians, but Ephesians, because they're right next to each other. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. Therefore, I say this and testify in the Lord, you should no longer live as the Gentiles live in the futility of their thoughts. They are darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their hearts. They became callous and gave themselves over to promiscuity for the practice of every kind of impurity with a desire for more and more. But that is not how you came to know Christ, assuming you heard about him and were taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. To take off your former way of life, the old self that is corrupted by deceitful desires, to be renewed by the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, the one created according to God's likeness, in righteousness and purity of the truth. We're to take off the old man, the old ways of doing things, and through the work of the Holy Spirit, put on the new man that we're able to accomplish only through God's indwelling of us. Verse 25. Now it begins talking about talking. Therefore, put away lying. Speak the truth, each one to his neighbor, because we are members of one another. And verse 29. Still in Ephesians 4. No foul language should come from your mouth, but only what is good for building up someone in need, so that it gives grace to those who hear. And then it goes on talking about more about our life as a Christian. Well, back to our passage in Matthew. We're going to go to James in just a minute, just for a long time. Back to Matthew. It says, I tell you that on, in verse 36 of chapter 12, I tell you that on the day of judgment, people will have to account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you'll be condemned. So let's go to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. And beginning in verse 3. Now, if we put bits into the mouths of horses so they obey us, we direct their whole bodies and consider ships. Though very large and driven by fierce winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So too, though the tongue is a small part of the body, it boasts great things. Consider how a small fire sets ablaze a large forest. And the tongue is a fire. The tongue, a world of unrighteousness, is placed among our members. It stains the whole body, sets the course of life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Every kind of animal, bird, reptile, and fish is tamed and has been tamed by humankind. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in God's likeness. Blessing and cursing come out of the same mouth. My brothers and sisters, these things should not be this way. Does a spring pour out sweet and bitter water from the same opening? Can a fig tree produce olives, my brothers and sisters, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a saltwater spring yield fresh water. We are to let God control our speech as He changes our hearts. And back up to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, beginning verse 9. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. One believes with the heart, resulting in righteousness, and one confesses with the mouth, resulting in salvation. And on to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation 20 and verse 12. I also saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works by what was written in the books. And verse 15. And anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. We are going to be judged by our works, but it's not going to determine where we spend our eternity. Having our name in God's book of life determines that. But we, as Jesus said in Matthew 12, 36, every careless word that we speak will be judged. We'll have to give an account. And the word translated there, careless, or idle in the King James, means a word that doesn't really have any effect on your sentence you're speaking. Like you add something instead of just saying, let your yes be yes and no be no. You got to add something to your yes or no so people really think that you mean it. even though it doesn't mean anything. So that's the kind of word that's being described as the words we'll be judged by. Words that we say without thinking about it that are not needed to be said. Sometimes we say all kinds of things. Here are a few examples I jotted down that I've heard people say. I didn't really mean it after they said something. I was just kidding. It was a joke. I couldn't help myself. I didn't think you could hear me. But he said something to me first. Sometimes we call the little children guilty of this, but we do it ourselves. We have all been guilty of saying similar things. We'll be judged by these words. Jesus was warning the Pharisees and warning us. Think about what you say very carefully. You shouldn't have to think about what you're going to say to avoid evil words coming out. Evil words shouldn't come out because they shouldn't be in your heart. But God does work on our hearts to change what used to produce evil into something that produces good. Because we're all going to face things that shake us up. What's going to come out of you when you're shaken up? Will it be good? Or will it be evil? Stand with me for our closing prayer. Dear God, I pray that we will let you control our words, that our words will be those that build others up and not tear them down. Because the people are looking at what we say, listening, and examining whether our faith is true. Let our words be reshaped by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.